But Bismarck wasn't laughing. "This is a foolish proposition," says he. "Mr. Gully is too old." Gully's laugh was wiped off his face at once. "Now, wait a moment, mein Herr," says he, but I was ahead of him again. "Oh, is that it?" says I. "You wouldn't be chary about milling with a professional, would you?" Everyone was talking at once, of course, but Bismarck's voice cut through them. "I have no interest in whether he is a professional or not, or the fact that he was once in jail," says I, "but only in the fact that he is very much older than I. As to his being in prison, what has that to do with anything?" "You know best about that," says I, sneering. "Now, damn it, hold on here," says Percival. "What the devil is all this flashy? I'm sick of his airs," says I, "and his sneers at Jack there. All right, he's your guest, Tom, but he goes a bit far. Let him put up or shut up. I only suggested he should try a round with a real boxer to show him that his jibes were wide of the mark, and he turns up his nose as though Gully weren't good enough for him. It's the wrong side of enough, I say." "Not good enough," roars Jack. "What's this?" "No one said anything of the sort," cries Tom. "Flashy, I don't know what you're driving at, but Captain Fleshman's intention is apparently to annoy me," says Bismarck. "He has not succeeded. My only objection to boxing with Mr. Gully was on the score of his age." "That'll do about my age, thank'ee," says Jack, going red. "I'm not so old, I can't deal with anyone who don't know his place." They calmed him down, and there was a lot of hubbub and noise and nonsense, and the upshot was that most of them, being slightly fuddled anyway, got the notion that I'd suggested, friendly-like, to Bismarck, that he'd try a round with Gully, and that somehow he'd insulted old Jack and looked down on him. It was Spotswood who calmed things over, and said there was no cause for shouting or hard feelings. "The point is, does the Baron want to try his hand in a friendly spar? That's all. If so, Jack'll oblige, won't you, Jack?" "No, no," says Jack, who was cooled again. "Why, I haven't stood in a ring for 30 years, man. Besides," he added with a smile, "I didn't understand that our guest was eager to try me." That brought him a lofty look from Bismarck, but Spotswood said, "Tell you what, Jack, if you'll spar a round or two with him, I'll sell you running ribbons." He knew Jack's weak spot, you see. Running ribbons was own brother to running reins and a prime goer. Jack hummed and hawed a bit, saying no, no, his fighting days were long done. But the fellows, seeing him waver, and delighted at the thought of watching the famous Gully in action, and no doubt of luring Bismarck a peg or two, urged him on, cheering him and slapping him on the shoulder. "Well, well," says Jack at last, for his flash of ill-temper had quite gone now, and he was his placid self. "If you must have it, I'll tell you what I'll do, to convince the Baron here that there's maybe more in the noble art than meets the eye. I'll engage to stand up in front of him with my hands down and let him try to plant me a few facers. What do you say to that, sir?" he asked Bismarck. The German, who had been sitting very disdainful, looked interested despite himself. "You mean you will let me strike you without defending yourself?" Jack grins at him. "I mean I'll let you try," says he, "but I must strike you unless you run away." "I reckon you're not too clever in our lingo yet," says Jack, smiling, but looking keen. "What with too old and running away, you know. But don't worry, mine here. I'll stay my ground." There was a great commotion while the table was thrust against one wall and the carpet rolled up and everyone piled furniture to the sides of the room to leave space for the exhibition. Percival was the only one who wasn't delighted at the prospect. "'Tain't fair," says he. "Not to a guest. I don't like it." "You'll not hurt him, Jack, do you hear?"
"Not a hair of his head," says old Jack. "But his vanity may be a bit bruised when he discovers it ain't so easy to hit a good milling cove as he imagines," says Speed, laughing.
"That's what I don't like either," says Percival. "It looks as though we're making a fool of him." "Not us," says I. "He'll be doing it himself."
"'And serve the German windbag right,' says Spotswood. "'Who's he to tell us our faults, damn him?' "'I still don't like it,' says Percival. "'Curse you, Flash, this is your doing.' "'And he mooched away, looking glum.'